our online audio, so we can keep this for anyone who'd like to have it. So that's why we're a few minutes behind. Are we okay now, Scott?
I think you're good to go, sir.
Okay. Well, good morning. The hour of 9 a.m. having arrived, this meeting of the McHenry County Board's Committee of the Whole is hereby called to order. Will the members please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? And Mr. Christensen, will you do us the honor of leading us in the pledge?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Aving. Here. Barnes.
Here.
Bates.
Here.
Christensen.
Here.
Gasser. Gademoller.
Here.
Hammerin.
Here.
Heisler.
Here.
Young. Young?
No.
Cairns?
Here.
Copsell?
Here.
Kurtz?
Here.
McCann?
Here.
Nowak?
Here.
Ryan?
No.
Reinhardt? Scala?
Present.
Smith?
Here.
Thorson?
Here.
Walkup? Wheeler?
Here.
Wilbeck?
Here.
Wilcox?
Here.
Jensen?
Here.
We've got 19 members having answered present. We do have a quorum. Mr. Wilcox had contacted me yesterday to be able to appear telephonically. So I'm glad you're with us, Mr. Wilcox. Thank you. Thank you. It's time for public comments. Do we have anybody who signed up for checking? Oliver will let us know. Thank you, sir. We have a couple of people. We have Mr. McConnell. I'd like to talk about Coventry Farmstead. We also have Michael Kelly from the City of Harvard wanting to talk about Coventry Farmstead. Why don't you guys both want to come up at the same time? Go ahead, Mr. McConnell, then Mr. Kelly will follow.
My name is Jim McConnell. I live in the McHenry County portion of Huntley, and I am your appointed chairman of the McHenry County Historic Preservation Commission. Ladies and gentlemen, last week the Planning, Environment, and Development Committee voted for a 2-month delay in bringing forward to this board the Historic Preservation Commission's recommendation for enforcement of the ordinance designating Coventry Farmstead as a McHenry County Historic Landmark. The delay was adopted at the urging of Charles Eldridge, administrator of the Harvard Woodstock Enterprise Zone, on the basis of a completely phony application by the property owner purporting to propose investment of $32 million in improvements to the buildings left behind by Motorola. I have passed around copies of the actual application document so each of you can judge it for yourselves. In the incomplete project application, Edward Technologies US LLC proposes to invest $32 million in remodeling work and equipment installation at the former Motorola property between now and the end of next month, despite not having a building permit and not having any contractor to perform the work. Edward Technology proposes the project will create 100 temporary construction jobs and 100 permanent smartphone manufacturing jobs before summer. As a lawyer who has worked in the construction industry for 44 years, I can confidently state that this proposal by Edward Technologies, as written, is a preposterous impossibility. Shortly after the vote to delay initiation of enforcement proceedings was taken and recorded, I left the committee meeting, followed into the meeting room vestibule directly by Mr. Eldridge, who made the following threat to me, and I quote, "If the property owner applies to the City of Harvard for a demolition permit to take down the Coventry Farmstead buildings, the city will issue the permit within 10 minutes and the buildings will be demolished before you can do anything to stop it." End of quote. I believe the document I have circulated is a completely phony subterfuge designed solely to garner positive press coverage and provide political cover for the second delay in initiating enforcement proceedings against the property, in order to give the owner time to carry out the threat presented to me by Mr. Eldridge on behalf of the City of Harvard and the Enterprise Zone. In the incomplete, undated application, which does not even identify the person purportedly signing it, Edward Technologies US LLC proposes to invest $32 million in remodeling work and equipment installation at the former Motorola property between now and the end of next month, despite not having a building permit and not having any contractor to perform the work. The proposal to put over $5 million a week into the property for the next 6 weeks can only have been submitted as political cover for delaying the initiation of enforcement proceedings so the owner can carry out the threat.
Mr. McConnell, please finish up.
The threat to tear down these historic structures. If the board votes immediately to authorize enforcement proceedings under our ordinance, the McHenry County State's Attorney will be authorized to take immediate action should the owners move to carry out their threat. If not, the threat becomes real, and these historic buildings could be lost forever. Please don't let this phony application be a smokescreen which costs the county its historic landmark.
Thank you. Thank you. Will the clerk please add to the roll Mr. Young and Mr. Reinert? Thank you. Mr. Kelly.
Good morning. I'm Michael Kelly, live at 1210 Lilac Lane in Harvard, Illinois. I'm the mayor of Harvard. I came here to discuss about the Coventry farmstead and simply to state that the City of Harvard fully supports preserving this historical landmark for all to enjoy. And in fact, we believe it would be a great place to have a visitor center welcoming people down the 14 corridor into Illinois and into McHenry County. Regarding the enforcement of the ordinance to force this corporation down the pathway that has been suggested, the city simply supports delaying this for a number of reasons. Number one, the corporation which has purchased the Motorola property has in fact submitted this application, which we believe agree is incomplete. Because of their culture, they have been very limited in the information that they have shared with the city, let alone the economic enterprise zone that the Harvard Woodstock Enterprise Zone. However, they are saying that they are committed to bringing business to this building, which would be a huge economic boost, not only for Harvard, but for McHenry County as a whole. My feelings, and I think our city council, which we're about to have a huge turnover in our city council. We'll have five new members among eight. So we have yet to swear those people in. So we don't really have a feel where those people will be in their decision-making. However, as the mayor, I fully support preserving this site. And we would prefer to try to use a diplomatic gesture in trying to get them to donate the property to the Historical Society, whether that be McHenry County's Historical Society or Harvard's Historical Society. And in fact, most recent as 2 days ago, I was able to speak with one of the people who are that is the caretaker for the property to suggest such a thing. He seemed to believe that the corporation would be open to this idea. I think that the principal idea here in trying to enforce this ordinance is to try and get inside and do an inspection of the property. I suggest that we try to ask them if we can go in and inspect it instead of trying to force them by legal matters. I think they would be open to allowing us to come in and to inspect the property, and we would be much better at creating and fostering a collaborative effort than to try and force them when they're in the middle of trying to bring business to our county.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Nice to meet you. Thank you. There's no further folks have signed up for public comment, so we will move to reports and presentations. I don't believe we have any. Okay. So then we have the new business. So we don't have any reports or presentation, but before we move to the discussion of the agenda for next week's meeting, I have a few reminders and updates to share. Over the last 2 weeks, the county administration, governmental departments, and I have had some very productive meetings. I want to report those to you. Right at the end of March, several staff members from Senator Duckworth's office came out to introduce themselves, to get to know a little bit more about McHenry County, and to meet with our department heads and other employees who had ideas about how the federal government can help us in our work. And I really want to thank my friend Joe Gottemaler for taking the time to come out and make the case for how much impact increased federal infrastructure dollars would have in McHenry County. So, Joe, thank you for that. We've reached out. We've had subsequent conversations with the senator's office, which I think is very important. Last week, Pete, Ralph, Scott, and I met with Frank Haney. He's the new Winnebago County Board Chairman, and members of his staff to share ideas that we're each working on and discuss ways that we can work together. And we hope to collaborate on grants for job creation and for infrastructure improvement instead of acting as competitors. We plan on working together instead of against each other. So I'm excited about that. And just yesterday, Pete and I met with my good friend, DuPage County Board Chairman Dan Cronin. And for more than 4 years, DuPage County has been very successfully using consolidation powers that I worked with Chairman Cronin to pass into law when I was a state representative, which are helping to reduce the property tax burden that their local residents bear. And last year, Senator Althoff and I passed legislation that extended those same powers to McHenry and Lake counties as well. So I look forward to working with you to examine the local governmental landscape here and to find taxing districts that can be responsibly combined with other units of government and also collaborate, as Chairman Cronin has done with the DuPage County Board. It was really interesting. We were talking yesterday. On Monday, auditors from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development came, and they're currently still here in the county monitoring the grants we receive. Pete and I, along with Dennis and the team from Planning and Development, met with the auditors on Monday. And if you have questions, please refer those to Pete or Dennis, who can help you on that. We've also gotten a first draft of our strategic plan. And I thought that our workshops were really thought-provoking and did a great job of bringing us together as people, which we all know can be sometimes difficult, you know, in this room. So the other day when I got the initial draft, I had the idea, and I want to get your feedback on this, of organizing another afternoon at Glacial Park to review the draft together. And I thought maybe we can do it after the next county of the whole and maybe do it for an hour and a half. So please let me know if you think that would be a good idea. So before we get to the final draft, if we want to talk about it amongst ourselves. So give me that feedback and we can make that decision together. But for me, I just thought it was such a positive experience out there that I'd like to try to do that again, because I think we got a lot more done in that room than sometimes we get done in this room. So let me know your feedback on that. And finally, I cannot think of a more appropriate day than this day of Thomas Jefferson's birthday to congratulate Andrew, Donna, and Michael for having participated in the consolidated municipal elections last week. So while the outcome may not have been what each of you had hoped, all of you ran valiant campaigns and fought for what you believe in, and that's what it's about. And this amazing democracy that President Jefferson gave voice to in its infancy simply wouldn't work without good people standing on principle and taking a huge personal risk for the benefit of others. So I'll wrap up by simply saying that I'm very proud to serve our constituents with all of you, because it takes a lot of guts to do what people in this room do. It's not always easy. All right, so in going to new business, in consideration of staff members' working time, I met with staff after our last meeting, and they criticized me, and they were correct, because they said, you kept us here when people weren't taking stuff off of the consent agenda, and we're not able to do our work. I said, you're 100% right. So in consideration of our staff members' working time, before we get to discussion of individual agenda items, does anyone want to remove any items from the zoning or routine consent agendas and sections 10 or 16, because if we're not going to be removing them, I want to be able to get these people back to work. It's a lot of overhead sitting out there. Yes, Ms. Avang.
Mine is just a technicality, but the zoning petition in Greenwood Township, I'll be abstaining from that vote. I have a conflict of financial relationship with a petitioner.
All right, so we'll at the time of the vote, so we won't take that off of the consent agenda. What else would people like off the consent agenda that you'd like to discuss today? I'm sure there's some things. Otherwise, we're going to have a very quiet meeting. Mr. Wilbeck, I know, wants to take something off.
Zoning petition 2017-001 for discussion.
Okay, that's the first one on the zoning petition?
The first one.
Yes, sir.
And
what else?
Also, item 2A-11.
2A-11, the resolution authorizing the contract extension with Baker Tilly. Thank
Correct.
You. So those two will be off. So okay. We'll discuss those now. Ms. Kurtz.
Yes. I had the auditing contract as well, but I have just below that the resolution setting a goal to reduce the 2017 McHenry County fiscal year property tax levy by 10%.
Good. Thank you. That'll come off. Anything else that people would want to take off? Okay, then for those of you that are here to answer questions that are on the consent agenda, you're free to go back and make a living for us and get to work. All right, so thank you very much. I appreciate that because I got an earful at the meeting last time and they were right. Okay, so, yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to also, though, just tell you I reserve the right to bring up anything at the meeting, and that, in fact, you know, I've gone through the report, but at the same time, between now and our next meeting, I may find something, and, you know, any other of the members may as well.
Of course, we understand that, but we're trying to streamline this, and the whole process
no.
is discuss it here.
It's
so
great.
The whole idea was to get away from information silos so mm-hmm. everyone could know what's going on, have mm-hmm. robust discussions on this issue so we can make the meeting go
Perfect.
Much more, you know, smoother. So
yeah.
it's been really working well. I think last month was a real model for it. So if something comes up, certainly, but I'm hoping people will come prepared to this meeting so we can discuss it because that's the whole idea of doing this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Okay, so the first, well, before we get that, we have that off. We will be talking about the approval of the minutes, so we don't have any issues with that, I presume, unless anyone has any. Does anyone have any changes on the minutes? Nope. Then we'll have the comments, the special recognition. I want to do one shout out to my friend Pam Capata, who's out in the she left. All right, we're doing a proclamation declaring May 8th through the 13th as National Economic Development Week. So I don't think she can be here Tuesday. And we have these proclamations. I want to point out to the members, we received on Section 9 here under the special recognition, we received a request from Senior Service Associates to issue a proclamation in honor of Mayor and County Recognition Day, which the Corporation for National and Community Service organizes to honor community volunteers, which was on April 4th. We received it too late to place it on last month's agenda, but several senior citizen volunteers will be in the audience on Tuesday night to be recognized for their contributions to the community. So with your agreement, I'd like to be able, if there's no objection, to update Section 9 of the agenda to add this proclamation for that for the Senior Service Associates. Ms. McCann?
Yeah, I definitely will support that. We've done it in the past, and we really need to do it.
Thank you, and it just was a question of timing, so we got it. And I want to honor their service. It's really extraordinary if you've seen what they've done. They've done a wonderful job, so thank you. So that will be an addition to our board packet for Tuesday then, so we'll have that added. Thank you. Then we get to the zoning petition, zoning consent agenda. We have number one we want to discuss. Mr. Smith, would you like to describe what's going on there?
Am I on? Okay.
Yes, sir.
I can read. It's the Harvard State Bank Trust, 799 Greenwood Township, A1 to A2. It's a small parcel north of town. I don't have the specifics up in front of us, so I guess I would ask Dennis or Daryl to comment on that.
You're up.
Thank you.
Please state your name for the record.
Daryl Moore, Deputy Director for Planning and Development. The situation is rather conventional when it comes to an A2 rezoning. We've got a large parcel of more than 100 acres. There's a house on it. They're looking to split off approximately 1 acre around the house using an A2 rezoning to do so. It was a recommended approval by the Zoning Board of Appeals unanimously.
Joe, I'm going to go to Mr. Wilbeck first because he's the one who pulled it off of the consent agenda. So, Tom, why don't you ask your questions?
All right, just a background. Why A2, since it's going to be residential and not zoned as residential?
Well, I would say that the A2 zoning district was created perhaps just for this purpose, for identifying farm residences or residences on farms where the owner of the property finds that at this point in time there are two different assets, the farmland and the farmhouse, and they're looking to have those go separate ways. It's still in an agricultural area, so the A2 zoning district is often seen as the least intrusive way of accomplishing that goal.
Mr. Wilbeck, do you have any follow-up? Because I know you had some concerns. Please.
What qualifies that as A2 zoning?
Well, the A2 zoning district is different than all other zoning districts in that it has a specific set of requirements that must be met in order to qualify. It needs to have a residence on the property. It needs to be able to support a septic system with a suitable septic system with that residence. It needs to meet one of three exceptions to the Plat Act. If those items are met, it qualifies for the A2 zoning district. As for other qualifications, I suppose that would be found in the Zoning Board of Appeals recommendation,
which we don't have, do we?
Yes. Well, recommendation should be summarized in your agenda packet. Specifically, packet page 37 includes the summary of that hearing and the voting meeting. The actual voting meeting portion of that transcript should be included on the pages thereafter.
Okay. Do you find that, Mr. Wilbeck? Do you need a few minutes?
Got it. Yeah.
Okay. Can I go to a couple other people and I can come back to you when you have your questions then? You sure? Okay. Mr. Gautamala.
Yeah, I was just going to add to what the questions that Tom Wilbeck's brought up is that the reason for A1 and A2 was to make certain that you didn't create a residential district in the middle of the farmland because that would end up tending to change the rest of the area into residential areas. So you create at the same time. Many of the farmers do not want extra homes with their farmlands. The farms generally have gotten larger, and as a result, they end up buying up homes along the way that they truly don't need nor want. So this was a way to avoid creating conflicting zoning districts in the middle of the agricultural areas and at the same time allowing the homesteads to be sold off. And there was a while, probably 10 years, where we based it on the land instead of just the lot itself or the house itself. And the concern was always that we're going to create new lots out in the countryside. So today, that restriction when we did the UDO was that you can only do this if there's a house already up. So you can't create new subdividable lots along the way. But again, the idea ultimately is to make certain that these assets can be preserved. They don't get bulldozed and turned into farmland. At the same time, the farmers don't get burdened with having a house in the countryside that they suddenly become landlords of.
Mr. Wilbeck, does that answer your questions? Okay, thank you. Ms. McCann, did you still want to be recognized?
Well, my esteemed colleague, who knows zoning much better than I do, told him exactly what I was going to say. So.
Good. I'm glad we have so much knowledge on this board. That's good. Thank you. Okay, so we're done with that situation. Mr. Wilbeck, to your satisfaction? Okay, thank you. Then the next thing that we took off of our, well, let's keep going here. We did the zoning. We had no questions on the appointments. There's standing committee chairman updates and liaison reports, and we'll have the routine consent agenda. So the next thing we're looking at is on page 3, 2A11, which is a resolution authorizing of the contract extension with Baker Tilly to provide annual outside audit service in the county's 2017 and 18 fiscal years. And Mr. Wilbeck had questions of that, and I'll have Pam come and respond to any inquiries that Mr. Wilbeck has or anyone else. Auditor. I'm sorry. Go right ahead, Pam.
Okay, well.
Did you have a question first, Tom? Did you want to ask a specific question?
Well, the question was, I think a meeting or so back, we discussed this situation just to allow the auditors to finish the 2017 fiscal year audit. And at that time, I stated the need for a new set of eyes and everything else, and I thought I was pretty thorough on that. Here it is, a month or two later, 2018 is being requested. So I have an issue with that, and I would still like to know why this persists.
May I have Mr. Scala respond before? Would you prefer?
Yeah, that's fine.
Please.
So the little bit of background history. So after the 1 year renewal came up and was voted down by the board here, that's when Ms. Palmer came before the Finance Committee and in turn talked about the problems that she sees with trying to find a new auditor for next year, which would be the fiscal year we're in right now, to audit this fiscal year. And as a Finance Committee, we talked about it and thought to bring it to the full board, which is what we did 2 months ago to have that discussion at the full board level. So then after that discussion, and there seemed to be a majority of the board members that were in favor of bringing that back again, I had asked Pam to work with Ralph to write a resolution that would then put that contract back in place again so that the board could come back and subsequently vote on it. The contract that would be put back in place would still have the 1 year renewals that would come before the board as they have in the past, and based on the new financial software program that we have going on, we as a board would be able to go out and look for a new auditing firm with the ability to do that in an appropriate manner and not a rushed manner so that we could get the best firms to come and apply. The other concern that we have is you know, last time there was a discussion that took place in regard to whether the current auditor would be allowed to bid on the contract in the sense that they spend a lot of time and money putting their proposal together, and if the board was not going to even entertain them to be someone that they could potentially vote for if they were the best qualified company, then we should let them know. And again, that's a discussion that we would need to have as a board to get some direction on that. Last time when these came up for renewal, you know, we did allow the Baker Tilly to bid on it. And it, again, as I've stated in the past, they were clearly the best company to do that for the county on behalf of the board. And, you know, so I guess there's a philosophical discussion that would need to happen at the board level here as to whether do we disallow them from bidding because we want to change regardless of whether they're the best company or not. And so that would allow us some time to have that discussion so that we could then inform them as to whether they would be allowed to bid on a new proposal.
Thank you. Mr. Wilbeck?
I understand that this, if we approve this, this audit contract goes through fiscal year 2018, which starts December 1st of 2017. Is that correct?
Yes. Mr. Scala is nodding his head.
Yes, nodding his head. Okay. The board has a fiduciary responsibility to the citizens of this county. And that being the financial oversight, the fact of the new software coming in is a perfect time for a new set of eyes to take a look at how that software was implemented, how it's working, et cetera. To have this firm have a contract at that time going 12 or 13 years, I find that to be too long. And I ask my other board members to support this and finish them up November 30th of this year and get somebody new in.
Thank you, Mr. Wilbeck. Pam, do you want to respond to that, or do you want to hear the other comments first?
I'd like to hear the other comments, and then I'd be happy to speak.
Okay. Paula?
Yes, I support Mr. Wilbeck's comments about moving forward and looking at an auditing firm in the foreseeable future, like next year. But I have a question. Is this on audio today?
Yeah, we're taping it.
You're taping it.
Unless, okay. Scott, has it been fixed? It's not live.
It's not live.
Yeah, we're taping it.
So if we have a question in the community, we know how to respond accordingly, that it's being taped and the audio is not operationalized. I think that all of us need to know that. Thank you.
That's why we started a few minutes late. We were trying to fix that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Kurtz?
Yes. Mr. Wilbeck has touched a nerve and a collective level of wisdom, I would say, with the board. The board denied the contract before and raised questions because it's fundamentally known that you don't want to keep the same auditing firm for an indefinite amount of time. And I know that there are startup costs involved in bringing in a new firm. That is absolutely true. But it's also true that when you have the same auditing firm coming in, the account is a cash cow for them. And they're not bringing a new view. Yes, I realize that they will bring in their partners and they will bring in new expertise, et cetera. But over an extended period of time, you don't get a new perspective. I will tell you, in my experience as a trustee at McHenry County College, it was not until we brought in a new firm did we find numerous errors, or I shouldn't say errors, numerous issues that, at least in one case, were a material finding that the other auditing firm did not find. Is that because they were not a good auditing firm? No. It was because they weren't looking at things with the same level of new view and new spirit of looking to find improvements. So Mr. Wilbeck is right on. We need to move to a new auditing firm. I think his logic in terms of doing it at a time with a new software in place is right on as well. And I think as a board we need to support the view that he has put forth. Thank you.
Mr. Scala.
So I'll just address a couple of things that have been brought up. So if the thought process is to bring in a new auditor when we have the new system in place, then you're contradicting what this resolution is trying to do, because that new software won't be in place and online until a fiscal year after this, meaning it's not going to start till 2018, December 1st, 2018. That's what the staff's right now. That's what they're trying to get that online. So that means we still need to do the audit for the fiscal year we're in currently and the fiscal year that we have next year. Second thing is in regard to the auditor. Let's not forget the auditor works for the county board. It does not work for the staff. They are our auditors, meaning, you know, the auditors every single year come back and ask the board members if there are any concerns that we have and that you, meaning as a board member, would like them to look into. And every year, Ms. Akers comes before us and asks any of us to contact her if there's any concerns whatsoever. I don't know if any of you have ever contacted her and expressed concerns, because she doesn't share that with that's a private conversation. But, you know, I when you look at the GASB rules and you look at their recommendations as an organization, their position is that you don't change auditors all the time. They actually, if you read their documents, they suggest you actually keep the same auditor. And we're not talking for 50 years, but the thought process is of an auditor, and when we did the interviews back a couple of years ago, every single auditor that was not our current auditor came in and said, we will not be able to do a good of a job as your current auditor because we don't know your systems that are currently in place. And so they have to start off, as Ms. Kurtz said, at the very beginning. Is that a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. But the first year that they're going to be auditing and probably the second year that they're going to be auditing, you're not going to get as in-depth audit as you would with our current auditor just because of the processes that they use to go about doing the audit for us. And so it becomes a catch-22 that, you know, they have the ability because they know our systems and they know what is currently happening in our county, they know where to look if there are potential problems. And as you know, we have not had clean audits in the past. We have had as of recently, and we are continuing to try and make improvements where they have suggested to make improvements. And Ms. Palmer's office does a great job of working on behalf of the county to make those improvements prior to the auditor even coming in. So I do feel that this is a wise and prudent move on behalf of the county. And again, if the thought process is once we have the new ERP system in, we want to get a new auditor and it's not Baker Tilly and we don't allow them to bid on the contract, then that would be fine. But again, realize what timeline you're talking about.
Thank you. Ms. McCann?
So Baker Tilly has been our auditor, and Pam can explain through the iterations how it got that way. But I was going to point out that even though we have the same auditing firm, the group that audits the our books are not the same people from year to year, or they've been in for 2 years, and knowing of our concerns, they're going to have a different team, as I recall. And so, Pam, if you would address that also, and because I think that's very important. This is a very large firm, and they can rotate their teams. Thank you.
Mr. Wilbeck.
Once again, 12 years is not forever, but it sure is a long period of time, or is it 13 years? Once again, we're going to tie ourselves to an auditing firm through the year, almost through the calendar year of 2018. I myself majored in accounting. I was an auditor for 3 years in the financial industry. I bring up again the Bernard Madoff situation, who had the same auditing firm for 23 years. I also bring up the situation of Mann Financial, where Mr. Corzine was never prosecuted for using, I think it was $2.6 billion of customer funds. And the auditing firm passed that through. The thing with auditing, and there's a term, it's an independent audit. You need an independent set of eyes. I have nothing against the current auditing firm. I have a fiduciary responsibility to this county to give them the best look at these accounting records as we possibly can. That's it.
Thank you. Mr. Hammerhead.
There'll never be a good time for us to get a new auditor. There'll always be a program or a plan or a program that has to be instituted. But I believe that we've had them for even longer than the 12 or 13 years because they were the company that just the way they acquired other companies, they were the company. I don't know that except for the first, I would say they're more like 14 or 15 years at least in place. That's way too long, and we've always done the same thing. We've extended it by 6 months to give them a chance to get something finished or something started. And eventually that's just going to have to stop if we're going to have an independent audit because we're not having that now. We might as well open an office for them in our county building, because they've been here way, way too long. They're a fine firm. I don't have anything against them personally. I don't know at this point. But that's why we bring in another auditor. And if after a period of time we want to go back to them again, I'd say that's fine and in order. But we should have a break in their service so that we know what happened, because we've seen that in elections where there's a break in service and then something happens and we say, well, how come we didn't know? And the only way you're going to ever find out that how come we didn't know is if we have a new auditor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Thorson.
Guys, I'm having a deja vu all over again experience here. And I'm wondering if somebody, and if I could get the floor back after such time as somebody has an opportunity to explain. This board has addressed this issue not too far in the past. However, I am unclear as to exactly what took place at this point. I do recall, I think, that we did, contrary to what's being presented here already. Am I incorrect in that assumption? Did we already say grace over this issue? Are we bringing back an issue that we already said grace over? And what was the outcome to bring all the rest of us back who, you know, might be asleep at the wheel right now? Could somebody answer that for me, please?
Pam?
Okay. First, I appreciate being able to talk to you about this because I feel it's very important to talk about the financial management of McHenry County.
I'm sorry. The question that I asked, and I'd like to keep it to the question that I asked, is what did this board do?
You didn't give her an opportunity to answer at all. Please let her answer.
I have the floor right now, and I asked a question.
And you need to let her answer the question.
Fine.
So please let her. We've had that happen too many times. Ms. Palmer, please let her answer the question, and then you can have a follow-up, but you never even let her answer. Please proceed.
So after the county board vote in January, I did come before the Finance Committee talking about how we would need to start the process to go through an RFP, because it's a very extensive process. We did a lot of due diligence back in 2015 to arrive at the conclusion that was voted on to have our Baker Tilly for fiscal years 15, 16, 17, and 18. So I brought it before the Finance Committee once again in February to talk about the whole process, because we were already starting to look into the new financial system and putting quite a bit of time into the development of the RFP. At that time, I also brought forth the PowerPoint presentation that we did back in August of 2015 to show all the reasons that should be considered in the selection of a firm. I felt that was important because it was the basis of why Baker Tilly was brought forth back in 2015 to be voted on by the county board. At that Finance Committee meeting, the decision was made to bring that in front of the county board at your COW meeting in February to go over all of the rationale for what we did to determine who should be selected. And I brought up, too, at that meeting that one of the biggest factors was our new financial software system that we're looking into. I know what staff time I have for completing the annual audit. I now know how much time it is taking to do this new financial ERP system. It's a tremendous amount of time. You can talk with Ralph Sarbaugh. We spent 9 complete days having demos by the different 3 vendors that were selected. Don Craig can attest to that also. That's just a drop in the bucket of how much time has been spent already in going through this process. So to cut to the chase here, the reason I brought it forth again was for us to devote this extra time, which I don't know exactly where it's all going to come from, but to spend this extra time on the ERP system and to bring in a new audit firm who would not only have to learn our present accounting system, they would also have to learn the new accounting system and all the other things that they need to find out about all the unique aspects of our county. It is going to be extremely difficult, and I really wanted everyone to be aware of that. So that is why it was brought forth at that COW. And at that meeting, your chairman, Finance Chair Scala, asked for this resolution to be drafted after I talked about 38 to 48% of our time is going to be spent working on the ERP project, which is time that we have to find that right now we're working full-time, and we have to find those hours. And I can tell you my hours in looking over the 13 proposals that came through for the new ERP system was spent in my family room 2 weekends in a row and at night. And that was just to break it down to the top three vendors. So I just want to make you aware of the time commitment that is out there for us to do this new system. And if we have to also educate new auditors, it is going to be near impossible. I am just trying to give you that, my professional opinion of it. Thank you.
Mr. Thorson.
With all due respect, I do apologize for being a little frustrated, but the question that I had, again, had nothing to do with the timeline of what got us back here. What it had to do with was what the county board actually did the last time it took action. And you know what? I don't even remember what my vote was, to be honest with you, but I do want to know, what did the county board decide? Because here's what my real issue is here. My real issue is here that the county board made a decision, I think that we've addressed this for 1 year, okay? And there was a lot of input in that, and there was and now we're addressing the same question, it seems to me, again, a couple of meetings later, because somebody didn't like the answer. And I have a problem with that. I have a big problem with that. So what I'd like us to consider is to think about what this board has determined and follow that direction instead of addressing, changing or going. I'm concerned mostly, to be honest with you, when you are vehemently trying so hard to, I know it's changing horses, perhaps for you it's in midstream and what have you, but it concerns me that when you are so worried about changing an auditor because of work or because of the work that it might have or what have you, like Mr. Hammerin said, it's never a good time to do this. It's always going to be inconvenient, and it's always going to create more work. As Mr. Wilbeck has said, there are issues with regard to transparency, accountability, concerns that I don't believe are exempted or trumped by the fact that a new quote-unquote auditor is not going to have the expertise or the ability or the understanding to do an adequate audit. I think the contrary. So. But I just want to point out that I think we're having a conversation very soon after we had this conversation because people didn't like the answer.
Mr. Sarbaugh?
Well, I was going to respond. Mr. Thorson, you are correct. The resolution was amended on the board floor to end the contract as of the audit for 2016. There was some confusion over that originally because when I pulled up the resolution, it had not been updated, and so it wasn't reflecting that. I went back to the board meeting minutes, where the board clearly stated in the minutes that it was to be ended, and so we have now revised that resolution. It has now been rescanned and put into the board record. So there was a little confusion to begin with. But I do also want to state that this financial system, when we brought in the current system we are working on that's been in place for 20 years, it took us 3 years to get that system in balance. And at that point in time, I was working out at Valley High and would come to this facility next door from 4:30 to 1 o'clock in the morning every night to help them get that system in balance. The funds and the bank accounts were not at all in sync. It took us 3 years to get that system up and running. So it's not like private industry where you have a checking account and a trial balance. When you have 80 funds that all have to have separate trial balances and separate general ledgers, it becomes quite a task. I don't disagree with anything that has been stated today in your concerns over continuing with an auditing firm. The concern I have is the cost to the taxpayers that is going to arise out of having to have that new team learn two new systems without having a lot of time from your finance management teams, because we're going to be so focused on the new system. I'm not sure when we're looking at cutting 10% of our revenue source, there's some concern there for me, because they're not going to get our full attention, or we're going to have to rebid the cost of the software, because then we're going to have to ask the implementation team to commit more time to this organization. And part of the long research and taking the time that we have done in reviewing these financial systems is to see how much we can take on to save our taxpayer dollars. And this change will put a kink in that, and we will have to go back to the table and get reassessed cost. And I'm not making up excuses. I truly do understand your concern. It's a timing error, an issue, not an error, in that it's just we're down 200 staff. You've all been made aware of that. We're all taking on more responsibility. No one's complaining about it, but we're getting pushed to the wall now. Even myself, I know Pam works late. I've been working 5 to 5 every day here, which means I have to get up at 3 because it takes me 2 hours to get ready, but that's not But they're long days. Long days.
TMI, Ralph,
and
TMI.
It's not easy. So I just want to make that point aware that it's not that we're not aware that we should have a change. It's just that time is becoming a precious commodity without additional help.
Thank you. Mr. Reinert.
I just have a question. This new software, is this unique to only Baker Tilly, or is this something that any accounting firm could adjust to? I mean, is this only Baker Tilly's software?
It's not Baker Tilly's software.
Right?
It's not Baker Tilly's software. It's that whoever comes in is going to have to learn the old system to understand how we're transitioning everything into the new system, because the chart of accounts, which is the backbone to any financial system, isn't going to be the same. So there's going to be all this additional mapping that's going to be taking place in order for us to maintain history and be transparent with what has happened in the past to what is going to be reflective in the new system. In fact, that's been one of our biggest issues we're addressing right now, is how do we keep this old system up? Do we bring forward 20 years of data? Do we bring forward just balances and say to everybody, if you want to FOIA anything past 2018, we don't have it? I mean, there's a lot of discussion going on around there right now.
So Baker Tilly is going to have just as much problem implementing the new system as another one would. If they're taking the old system and learning the new one and reinserting everything, what's the difference of them doing it to another company doing it? And it's a question, not an argument. I just want to understand that. Why is it so unique to Baker Tilly that they can only implement the old to the new?
And it's not unique to Baker Tilly. It's cost savings to the taxpayers, in that Baker Tilly will still have to, whoever's auditing will have to audit the current system. So you're going to bring in someone, if we bring in someone new, which can be done, they have to learn the current system for 1 year, and you're going to spend a lot of money doing that, but they're not going to know how, if we really mapped it correctly, because they're learning the new system and don't have that history with us. And so they're having to learn two new systems at one time, where our current auditors are only going to have to learn the new system as we're learning it to get us over that hump. And that's where there will be cost savings and time savings. That's really what it boils down to.
Mr. Christensen. No,
I was somebody that did vote with Mr. Wilbeck. Initially, on an emotional scale, it really does make sense. I just, what we don't have is a plan on the back end, and so we don't have questions answered of, if we go back out to audit and or back out to bid and Baker Tilly's still the best, can we go with them? Can we not go with them? And so in the end, I don't think I took into consideration how hard it is. I understand there's never a good time to do anything, but at this point, to have someone learn our language to then, it just doesn't make sense at this time. I'm not saying we don't switch in the future. I completely agree with Mr. Wilbeck that by the end of it, there's no reason we should not be giving them the bid. What I have a problem with is, when am I going to bring in the new people bidding to then be able to get them implemented and ready to go by 2017, when I don't even know if Baker Tilly comes back and they're still the best, then I can't go with them? I guess that's my major question. We haven't set – there's no plan in place, and I have a problem with that. That's really why I was one of the people that realized, you know what, after talking to my members on finance going, yeah, I didn't really understand that this is a more complicated issue than what I had expected. And before I can move forward, I have to personally have a plan going forward. But so that may be the vote on me, John.
Thank you. Ms. Barnes.
Thank you. I would agree with Mr. Christensen that this issue is now becoming much more complicated than it was in the beginning. And I'll save many of my comments, but I do have some questions. First of all, there are statements being made about increased costs, and I think the people making the statements are kind of going out on a limb, making assumptions about an increased cost when you don't know that until you put it out for a bid and you get the bids. So to absolutely present it as fact that new auditors would be a higher cost, I think, isn't quite proper yet, because we don't know that. Yes, it may take them more time, but that doesn't mean their bid will come in at a higher cost. They may be happy to take a loss on it to get the client experience. So be careful about listening to things that are stated as facts when, in fact, they're opinions, not facts. That's my first comment. So I won't ask the question about how does anyone know it's going to cost more money, and nobody does. So that I'll skip that question. But this question has come up at the Finance Committee meeting, and it was brought up by someone today, and I don't know the answer. Is there an answer to whether or not Baker Tilly can bid if this goes to bid? Because I know that was one of the arguments that was given for bringing this back, is we don't know if Baker Tilly can bid. That's a concern to me to bring it back for that reason. But we were specifically told that they were waiting for a state's attorney's opinion on that. And I would like to ask either Mr. Sarbaugh, Ms. Palmer, or Mr. Gray if we got an answer for that.
I'm not aware of a state's attorney's opinion being asked. I do know that question was asked, I believe, at the COW, and my response to that was, in looking through RFPs for other governments, I do see where some of them do allow the current auditors to go in on the bid, and I see some where they do not allow them. So I think that's the only information that was provided.
Okay, and again, I would have trouble voting yes to this for any isolated reason, but particularly one that we don't know if they're allowed to bid again, because that to me makes it sound like it's a foregone conclusion. You know, we know this is who you want, but the board did vote no to it, and now it just seems like we don't like your answer and we're trying again. So with my history on this, you know, I voted as a member of the Finance Committee now and in the past, I did recommend Baker Tilly. When we did our interviews, I thought they were the most qualified firm by far, and I think it was a unanimous decision at the committee level at that point to bring them forward. and most of the Finance Committee members are still on this board. And when we had the discussion at this year's county board meeting, some of those same county board members that had recommended Baker Tilly voted no to them continuing. And I was confused by that because, you know, I was one who did not vote at that meeting to eliminate them, to remove them from their position. So I didn't understand why Finance Committee members in particular changed their opinion. So we talked about that at Finance. And again, at that county board meeting, I didn't like the answer. I didn't like the decision the county board made to remove Baker Tilly, but I accepted it because that was a county board decision. And I still feel that when the county board makes a decision, you live with it. And you accommodate and you move on and you do things because you respect the decision. And now a couple months later, being asked to re-decide it because people didn't like the decision just really seems a bad habit to get into. You know, we could do this every other month. We could retake votes on items that people didn't like. So I have a concern about that. The other thing that is very troublesome to me today is comments about time, about how much extra time things are going to take. Well, for the auditors, that's part of their bid process, and if they have to spend extra time, that's what they get paid for. In terms of staff, I feel for you. On the other hand, I feel that these are the same comments you made when you convinced the board last year to hire a person, a temporary project manager, to assist with the process. And those are the same arguments you used for that position. That position was clearly not needed anymore. That was removed. And now you're asking us to fix that decision. So I would agree that there seems to be no plan here. But in terms of this being an immediate concern right now, you've stated over and over again that if we're going to start the bid process or the RFP, whatever route we choose to go, we need to get that started soon. That's what you said. So we could do that. And the immediacy of making this decision for this county board meeting is really not an immediate need. We already made the decision at the board level to let them finish what they're working on, and we have the opportunity to start with the process of getting information from potential new firms. So I'm just lost on the inconsistency of every different route that's being taken that contradicts a decision the board made. So that's where I'm at. And you know, just for the record, I will say I supported them. I supported them during the interview process at the Finance Committee, the decision last year, and I was in favor of keeping them earlier this year. But my problem now is that the way this is coming off is no respect for the board's decision. And we've seen that happen over and over with different situations, and I just have trouble with that. And again, I do feel for you, all the weekends you spend and everything else you have to do. But you did have another body, and that body disappeared.
Thank you, Ms.
So that's if you want to talk to my response after the meeting, that's fine. I just had questions, and I really thought because the question had been asked about whether or not Baker Tilly could participate, that someone would have followed up on that. And there's no follow-up. So in my mind, it's still an option. Until I'm told that no, they can't, it's still an option. So we have time.
Thank you.
That's where I'm at.
Thank you. Ms. Bates.
If just a quick question. If we keep Baker Tilly, and allow them to utilize their experience to install with our current auditing system, to develop this new or work to install this new software program. How long will it be until you all feel comfortable that we can go out for bid? 1 year, 2 years, 19, 20? What's the answer? just curious.
First of all, I'd just like to state that it won't be Baker Tilly installing the new software.
Okay, I understand. That was a misstatement.
It's major software. We're talking Microsoft, Infor.
Correct.
But
correct.
It will be companies that do the installation. What we're talking about is the time with both the audit firm being familiar with everything and having the implementation going on. And I just want to add, too, that DuPage County, who had auditors for 30 years, and I think I mentioned this last time around, extended their contract with their 30-year auditors for 2 years just to get through the implementation, and then they went and selected a new firm. And so I don't disagree with your vote. I just wanted to make sure you were fully aware of what factors we looked at to award that 5-year contract.
I'm not saying that. I can see where it makes sense to me to keep the existing firm that already knows our previous auditing system to initiate the initiate the new software program and then go out to bid. But in reality, what my question is how long do you perceive that happening till that new software program is often up and running, and then we can go out for an RFP?
They anticipate it will take 18 months from the installation of the software to the training to the testing to the go live, and then I would still anticipate, Ralph, you can add to this, maybe 4 to 6 months to get all the kinks out even after going live. So that's what we're looking at.
So we're looking at 2019, am I correct?
That would be the date, probably the spring of 2019 if everything went ideal.
Okay.
But
okay.
Fiscal year 18 would be the last year of this 4-year cycle.
Okay.
Then that next year would be done by the firm that was selected.
Okay. All right. I appreciate the answer. And you stated that very well, I would say that. The other question that I have, and this is for the Finance Committee, is it's my understanding from what I'm hearing that this was a split recommendation or a split vote. So what I'd like to know is how many people voted in favor of this recommendation and how many voted against it.
Mr. Scala, do you remember that? I'm sorry. I got to take one of these guys off. Okay, go ahead.
Are you referring to what came out of committee for today?
Correct.
It was 6-1.
Six.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Wheeler.
Yes, my statement is that I think that we need to put this out to bid and allow Baker Tilly to bid as well. Have everybody, then we can actually make a rational decision. Allow them to bid and allow all the other people to bid. And then instead of saying, well, I think that it will cost more money, or I think we don't know, as Donna, I think, so aptly pointed out, we don't, or actually it was Yvonne, we don't know. That was stated as a fact that it's going to cost us more money. People sharpen their pencils when business is at risk. Our existing auditor might decide that they really want to keep this business, and they have a lot invested in this, and they may cut us a great big cut here. Now, at that point in time, once we're looking at the proposals, that's the point in time when we can make a decision. But the fact of the matter is that the board decided that we wanted a new auditor. And that decision should be followed through by staff. And then we can make the decision by looking at the bids, not prejudging what the bids are going to be, but looking at actual bids. Thank you.
Mr. Kearns.
This is why the Committee of the Whole, I think, is a great thing because it's brought out a lot of different questions here. I was one that voted to find a new auditor also, I believe. And these questions that have been brought up, I want to share something that happened with in business years ago in my line of business. There was one of my competitors who was going to a new software system and realized it's not government, but it was private business and a new software system for all of his financial and everything else. He made the decision to go without preparation and shut his business down for 2 weeks. Couldn't ship anything out. So we ground up a bunch of business over that. However, I had the chance to join that man's firm and worked for him for 10 years after that. In 10 years, he still did not have his new system up and finally scrapped it and went to another system. So I'm a little concerned about that you're not going to have your system up in 19 months or 2 years. And then you're going to be saying, let's go to keep the new auditing firm. Now, I have not made a decision which way I'm going to vote on this one. But this committee of a whole has really brought a lot of questions up to answer those questions. And they're very good questions, especially about Baker Tilly, if they can participate in the bid. And I think that needs to be answered. And do we have to rush and make this decision this next week? Is there a time frame that you have to have this decision made?
I'm sorry, Pam, go ahead.
Okay. As far as going out for an RFP, we did start, I think, in May of 2015 to go through getting the RFP out there, because then there has to be time for all the solicitations to come in, to go through and do the scoring, narrow it down, bring those narrowed down firms in for to find out if they are the best fit for the county, bring it before the finance committee, before the board, and that was done in August of 2015. So there is a good, 3 to 4 month time cycle it would take to do that. And, of course, we would have to have it done by sometime in August, because you need to have auditors come in to do preliminary work in usually September, October.
Is your question answered, sir?
So, essentially, the next question on that line of thinking, we got a delay. If we have a delay, would cause a problem. So the next question would be, the other answer needs to be answered would be, is there a hard deadline that you can have this software system up that you can comfortably follow? 2019, 2020, what is that answer that you guys need to look at this software system implemented in other counties? Okay. How long did it take them to get that system up and running that they were comfortable with the financials?
Well, I could tell you that for what the GFOA, the Government Finance Officers Association, did a business needs assessment for us, and they determined 18 months. One of the vendors that we have narrowed down to our final two has said 14 months. The other one has said 18. So it really is right within that time period that it would take, with us being able to devote our time, the implementer being able to be there, and not to have snags come through, that's the time frame that we're looking at. So that is where we're saying a go-live date of December 1st of 2018, if we stay on schedule where we're at right now.
And actually, the budget will go live next spring while we're still working on the finance part.
Okay, I can agree with that. I like that idea, and I'm going to think real seriously about this before Tuesday.
Thank you. Ms. McCann.
In the not too recent past, I was on a charter school board, and when we hired a new auditor, their fee was 50% of their base for the first year, so they could learn the system, and then it was reduced by 50% for the following 3 years. And in that time, we had a number of good experiences with this auditor because they did find some things, and we ended up hiring an accountant. But that fact that when we were going out again, that accountant told us, when you get a new accounting firm, there will be an upcharge, so they learn the system. Because if they don't take the time to learn the system, you do not get a decent audit.
Thank you. Ms. Kurtz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think what is coming to light here is that the board made a decision, and not just the auditor, but the chairman of finance did not respect that decision. And at the same time, if you're having problems, the way to address it, and I think that's becoming very evident here, is to establish a timeline, you know, to say, hey, here's what we are facing, and this is what we need. But I want to remind all of my fellow board members that the incremental cost that occurs when you bring on an auditor is the insurance policy you pay to prevent, you know, terrible things from happening, whether it be issues with your IT system and the auditing identifying that you have some horrible backup issues, or you have an opportunity for ransom kind of software to get in and destroy your systems, or whether you don't have the appropriate checks and balances in place. The incremental cost of bringing in an auditor is absolutely not a reason to bring in a new auditor. Why? Because the reason you do it is to protect the $230 million or more of taxpayer money. So let's not put the pennies ahead of the millions. The last thing I want to say is I want to compliment Mr. Thorson for his decorum in not basically telling our chairman that he had the floor and that he was entitled to the floor and he had the opportunity to ask a question as he wished to staff. And for him to want to refine the question was perfectly appropriate. He was not calling names to anyone. He was not being inappropriate other than being direct. And when we have our chairman editing what a member can say, that chairman is preventing the democratic process from ensuing. And so I would ask our chairman to give people the floor and let them have the floor until they are done with their questions, et cetera. And to that point, I would also ask that members always be polite and respectful to staff. But as far as I can see, I think that does occur. Sometimes we ask pointed questions. Sometimes we want to get to the matter at hand. But unless we are demeaning or calling names, everything we ask is appropriate and should be respected because we are the duly elected representatives of the people. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Wilbeck.
I'll be very brief. It's my mission to always take a look in things and see how and say not how things can't be done. I'd like to take a look at things and see how things can be done. Yeah. And if timing is the issue, timing can always be adjusted. I could say with a fair degree of certainty, with my expertise, that these timelines are not going to be met. There's going to be delays. And then we're asking now for the same auditing firm to transition into 2019 fiscal year. And that, folks, it's much too long. Do you bite the bullet now, you think outside the box now and get it done, or do you wait 3 years from now? Cost savings to the taxpayers, if you take a look at their current contract, they've gone up 10%. So it's cost the taxpayers money. You can always negotiate something for cost savings, and you put the competition against the wall. And if cost is the issue, which cost should be an issue, I'm sure that you could get down to a mutually agreed upon cost. That's it.
Thank you, sir. I thought you were going to be the last one, but Mr. Gottemoller snuck in his light.
I was just going to ask that we move on to the next item. I don't think we've got much to add.
That's it. I think we did. I was giving Mr. Wilbeck the last word, so thank you. So I appreciate that robust discussion. The other item that we took off of the consent agenda was number 12, the resolution setting a goal to reduce the 2017 McHenry County fiscal year. Ms. Kurtz took that off, but she's not in the room. So who would like to discuss that? Is there anyone who'd like to discuss this issue? This is the last thing that's just taken off. But at this point, we can go. I guess we can come back if she asks. We'll ask the administrator, do you have a report? Oh, I'm sorry.
I had Ralph's left.
No, it's okay. I do have a couple things, nothing real weighty. You took some of my good stuff. Staff is continuing to, move towards the health insurance transition that you voted on last month. That's taken a lot of time from the Human Resources Office, but we are on track for that. I placed in your mailboxes a little old catalog on the Civil War flag that hangs in our stairwell. I just wanted to put that in context. It's obviously several years dated, but Gloria Mack on the historic. No, historic.
He thought you said Siri. I love it.
Siri didn't get me. Yeah. Gloria Mack in the Historical Society was cleaning out. She was cleaning out her closets and found the stack of those books and just felt that they were far too valuable to recycle. So she wanted me to pass those on to you, and we thanked Gloria for that. A couple of you noticed earlier this week when we posted the county board agenda that we reposted it inside of a half hour. And we found, I think it was on the ZBA item that we pulled earlier on the transition from A1 to A2 or something like that, when we found that the information didn't pull through. So we reposted it right away. And a couple of you caught that right away and reminded us that maybe we can have a follow-up email as to when we repost something, why we reposted it. This does happen, and it's probably going to happen more frequently when we're posting the county board agenda so many days in advance of the county board. We're going to have a reposting today because we're going to add the senior volunteer amendment. So maybe we won't give you a heads up on that one, but we'll try and be mindful of that when we do a repost that we try and send up a reason as to why we're reposting that. A board member this week reminded me that the economic interest statements are due at the end of this month. So if you haven't done that, please see the county clerk. I think it's Sandy Maynard. Nancy Maynard in the county clerk's office is running point on that for the county clerk. But that work is due by the end of the month. The civil justice project that the 22nd Circuit has shared with many of the committees in the last round of meetings, they're kicking off that project today, and they have a lunch over in the courthouse. But that's going to be a big deal for them. They're really rethinking how civil casework is being handled in the 22nd Circuit, trying to bring efficiencies not only to the litigants but to the county as a whole. And maybe just things as simple as the amount of jurors that we're bringing in can be realized as a cost savings. Dennis is not here, but he asked me to remind or acknowledge that there will be on June 16th, there's a McHenry County Active Communities Forum down at Centregra in Huntley. You'll get more information on this, but certainly all the county board members and municipal representatives are invited. We're going to have a free lunch there. We'll have folks from the highway department, Planning and Development, the Health Department, City of Crystal Lake, several others, CMAP, talking about healthy communities and how you can plan and develop those communities. And again, county board members are encouraged to be a part of that. And I don't know if it's installed yet, but it will be any day now. There's a new information kiosk that's going to spend some time in our lobby in the front here from CMAP, and it's designed to solicit information from all of our residents about where they see the county as CMAP begins to develop its 2050 plan. And I think there's five separate surveys that people can take down there, so you might want to take a moment to check in on that. The last thing I'll mention, and I know we'll get back to Ms. Kurtz in a moment, we're going to need an executive session today to talk about hopefully resolution to some outstanding negotiations we've had with FOP Unit 1 and 2. So I just want to put you on notice of that.
I was going to say, and yes, Mr. Ryan, also I want to remind everyone to do their statement of economic interest. And I was filling out mine yesterday. I don't want anybody to have any pitfalls. Mr. Reinert, for instance, you're doing CMAP as well. Make sure you fill theirs out. So if anybody has other things they're doing, you can't just do it for one jurisdiction. You have to fill it out for multiple. So I don't want anybody getting tripped up. Okay? So thank you on that. Ms. Jensen.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, Chairman Franks. My question is, I've already completed mine for the Mental Health Board. Why can't that be an integrated thing to place our liaison appointments as well as our county board information onto one document? Why is there such redundancy in doing the economic interest form?
I agree.
I'm complaining. And I think it's okay to complain. Why can't it be integrated?
Very, very fair question. If I can speak on behalf of the county clerk's office, I believe it's their intention to integrate those. Now, Chairman Franks referenced CMAP. I think that comes out of Cook County, and they have a different form there. But for McHenry County appointed positions, I believe the county clerk has integrated those, and they are referencing more than one appointment on there.
I would like to respond to that because already submitted my economic interest form, and it specifically stated, for the Mental Health Board, and I asked them if I do need to resubmit for my county board role, and I have received no response accordingly, and I think that some of us who have liaison positions, whether it's Valley High, et cetera, I don't understand the redundancy because the answers are going to be completely the same.
I appreciate that. Okay, well, we'll try and get a response for you by Tuesday evening. But my understanding is the county clerk's office is trying to do just the integration that you're hoping to see. So we'll get you
I'm going to follow up on that. Am I to resubmit an economic interest form based on my county board role?
I don't think you need to, but I will verify that.
Paul, I would tell you the opposite. I would do it. Cover your bases. Do it. Just do it. I spent an hour and a half. I had to do a number of them. It was ridiculous.
So,
and the drop-downs weren't even accurate.
I will take care of it this week. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hammerand.
That was my concern as well. And it says we have a hard deadline. I would hope that 3 days or 5 days before that deadline that the clerk let us know if we haven't fulfilled our obligations.
Well, I think there's also opportunities. I was reading the law yesterday that I think we also have the opportunity to amend. So if you do find an issue, you'll have that opportunity. I think you have at least a month to amend. So we'll certainly bring that up with the clerk, and I would encourage you to give the clerk a call on that because some of the drop-downs didn't work for me yesterday.
Yeah, I was very happy with the paper situation. Now a whole new one. Thank you.
That's right. Since Ms. Kurtz is back, we'll go back to the agenda item that she wanted removed, which was number 12, 2A12. So I'll have Ms. Kurtz.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, guys. I drank too much water this morning. Bad habit. I wanted to share with you my thoughts regarding the reduction of the tax levy by 10%. if we're doing this to save money for the taxpayer, you know, as Mr. Walkup has said, it's a tank of gas that we're saving. And that's potentially very foolish. That is, to coin a phrase, 40 pieces of silver. And that's a very appropriate phrase this time of year. And in that regard, I think that we miss the point of trying to make government more efficient and overall more cost-effective. And as a result, I'd like to suggest that we have a committee of the whole meeting to talk about how we can potentially reach a 10% goal. But the appropriate way, I believe, to do this is to be talking about things like how do we consolidate units of government? How do we have integrated IGA agreements? How do we privatize certain areas of government? And overall, we look at how do we maintain our services, but do them at a reduced cost. What concerns me about this approach is, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to anyone, but it kind of gives me the sense of a buzzsaw mentality. And when I say buzzsaw, what I mean is we're just going to cut, cut, cut. Well, if we're not looking at the issue of how do we make things more efficient, then we're just going to be reducing what we provide to the people of this county. And there's a number of consequences that occur when we take away services. And the impact is, one, we potentially reduce revenues. Why? Because some of these services actually receive grants and various other government funding. So we reduce revenues into our community. That also impacts jobs within our community, whether they're government or they're private agencies. In addition, it also can impact the kind of services we give the people in our community. And when they see tax bills and they say, hey, I'm not even getting what I used to get, that is a motivator for them to go elsewhere. And the overall impact potentially can affect us with social services, with our environment and our open space, and that can affect the long-term value of our community. So I would suggest that we have a committee of the whole to come up with a strategic approach of how we can address this. And potentially that occurs, Mr. Chairman, at the strategic planning session that you've asked us to do for round two. But to just set a goal and have no sense of what the criteria is going to get us into trouble, especially when we are such a relatively minor part of the tax bill, yet we provide some of the most critical services to 300,000-plus people. So I hope the board will consider us tabling this so that we have a complete, comprehensive approach to addressing this particular issue.
I think that part of that was directed at me, and so I'd like to respond, if I may, on that. What the resolution, nothing's going to be done in a vacuum. We're going to bring it back to the board. We're going to discuss it in the committee of the whole, just like we're doing now. We need to set goals for ever getting anything done. And that's what you have to do. That's what good organizations, that's what good, healthy organizations do. So that's why we need to set the goal. We need to go forward with that goal. We need to discuss it. And all the things that you said that we should be looking at, we will. And that's why we're going to be creating this committee to do that. And then we'll bring it to the committee of the whole, and we'll all be involved. We're all in this together. And if after we do that you don't like it, you're certainly free to vote no. But I think we need to set those goals and move forward. So I think the way you've characterized it would be incorrect. And obviously the goal is to have everyone included. And if you saw, if you've read the resolution, you'll see that almost half of the board is included. And then after we do that, then we bring it to the committee of the whole. So this is transparent, it's open, and we're setting goals. It's best practices and something that's desperately needed. Ms. Barnes.
Thank you. Just a quick comment to let the county board members know that the last time we discussed this resolution at the county board meeting, I think, the resolution that was discussed at that meeting came to the finance committee. So if you look on your calendar and your meeting calendar and you go back and you look at the finance committee meeting, you will see a different resolution than the one that's in our packet. The one that's in that was presented to us was replaced by a new resolution. So pay particular attention to that when you are reviewing your packet this weekend. Thank you.
Thank you. That's correct. Did you want to follow up? No? Mr. Thorson.
Sorry, but you know what? Now's as good a time as any. We're in our committee of the whole. Maybe we should share with each other, make sure everybody knows exactly what those changes are from the original.
Well, it's in your packet if you'd like to read it.
I don't have my packet open in front of me, but I do know that one was basically a draconian approach while the other one was more of a goal-oriented approach.
I wouldn't characterize it as draconian whatsoever.
Well, I'm...
I think the document would speak for itself. I'd encourage you to read it, and we'll provide you one if you'd like one.
No. I was just suggesting that we have a discussion here if you don't want to have
I'm happy to have a discussion, but I'm not sure there's a question pending. I'd encourage you to read it first so you understand what we're discussing. That's all.
Ms. Kurtz.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to go back to a comment you just made in terms of my comments being directed to you. They were not directed to you. I was surprised by your response. My comments are directed to all of us. And with this particular resolution in place and the ramifications it has, there is no backup document. The backup document is blank. It has no information about the approach that would be undertaken and how this might be done, etc. And when goals are set without any sense of what is the process, what we're trying to achieve, we tend to take the wrong direction. And so that's why I think that we need to talk about what we're trying to do here in terms of creating greater efficiencies, being more effective in our work, and what we deliver to our county, and understanding the value of it, and make that part of an overall objective. And 10% may be that objective, maybe it's more, but the value that can be achieved here is more than a 10% reduction. And so, you know, fellow board members, Mr. Chairman, I think that just putting this on paper with a 10% thing misses the point of what we could potentially be achieving, which would be far, far greater and provide more value to our county. So that's where I'm coming from. Thank you.
Thank you. It doesn't limit us to 10. As I said when we talked last month, it's a goal, it's a start, and I think we can do better. But we have to have goals. Mr. Kerr.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, let me respond to that while I still have the floor.
Sure.
And thank you, sir. Again, to just look at this as a cost-cutting measure misses the point, and apparently I'm not making my point well, because I keep hearing, you know, the 10% cut, and it isn't. It's how can we provide more value? And, you know, Mr. Austin and the previous boards, we've talked a little bit about consolidation, and we've talked about privatization opportunities, and We've talked about consolidation. As you know, Mr. Franks, I was a big supporter of the consolidation legislation that you put forth, and in fact, I wrote an article supporting that. So, you know, to me, if we're looking at this in terms of how do we provide greater value to our taxpayers, and oh, by the way, we're looking at efficiencies and cost reductions, perhaps not just to our county government, but to cities and towns in the area, and we can collectively reduce taxes by working together. You know, again, some more opportunities. But until we sit down and brainstorm this, I think we end up taking a very narrow path that ends up potentially reducing the value we offer to the county. And that's why I'm saying I think we need to take a step back on this and collectively work together before this resolution would be voted on, because we're going to miss the boat. We're going to dig a deep trench instead of look at the broad value we could be providing. Thank you.
Mr. Kearns.
So the difference in the two resolutions, you know, I'll discuss it. Let's sure. discuss it, because I want to know the answer. Which resolution is in the packet and which one came out of committee? And what was the difference in what they said? Mr. Scala, can you answer that?
Mr. Scala.
I would be delighted to answer that question. So there was a resolution that was in the Finance Committee packet, which was a resolution that I believe Mr. Gasser had sent out, and I know Mr. Franks had worked on, and it was 2 pages long. There were several issues that I had with the resolution, mainly that it was the wording of the resolution did not allow future boards to have ability to be flexible based on changing circumstances. And so I took it upon myself to rewrite the resolution, which I felt achieved the same purpose but gave future boards much more flexibility in making decisions as time progressed on. So that was what I had presented to the Finance Committee for their consideration, and in turn, through a series of motions, it was adopted 4-2, which is what is now currently in your board packet. Did that answer your question, Mr. Kearns?
Yes.
Thank you. You have any follow-up?
Yes, a little bit about it. I do have some concern that we lock ourselves into the 10%. Maybe we could go 20%, or maybe we need 7%. It's a goal. I agree, but I think some of this does need to be brought up beforehand. You're putting in auditing. They're saying they need more, going to need possibly more money for the new system and everything on auditing. Everyone needs more money, and what is our government going to look like? I agree with Mr. Scala on the last meeting. We talked about what is our county, what do we want it to look like in the end? And I think some of that should be addressed before we pass this, before we even look at it. I really would like to have addressed, and I don't disagree with having it at a strategic planning. I kind of like that idea that we all sit and talk about that even further.
Thank you. Ms. Janssen?
Yes, my question is for Mr. Scala. Was Mr. Gasser consulted before you made the changes? And secondly, I do support the idea of having a 10%. At least it's a goal that we need to have. I just would like to know, when Mr. Scala decides to do the rewrite of the resolution that was discussed at a former board meeting, was Mr. Gasser consulted?
I did not consult anyone when I rewrote the resolution. I no different than anyone else making a motion on the floor. I took it upon myself to rewrite what I felt I was comfortable with. Well, yeah, we had both resolutions. I mean, the one that was in the Finance Committee packet was the one that I don't want to say it was Mr. Gasser's or Mr. Frank's. It was wherever it came from, it was a resolution that was in our finance committee agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry. Paula, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I had my light on. Mr. Gosser initiated such discussion and promoting that kind of resolution, if my memory is correct. And I think that there would have been some sense of courtesy should be extended to the originator of the resolution. And I would like to know what Mr. Gosser's viewpoint is on this current structure of the resolution.
Mr. Reinert might be able to follow
first,
up on
you
that.
Mind or?
No, go ahead, Mr. Reinert.
I spoke to Mr. Gosser last night, and he supported this. Okay. He's not here, but I can guarantee you he would be supporting this right now. And actually, yeah, I talked to Andrew at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. He told me that he did support this.
No, he wants the old resolution, yes, not the old resolution.
Yeah, that's what he told me.
Yeah, I could be wrong. I was with him. I was at MCC and talking to him on the phone, and he was supportive, unless he didn't read this. So.
Yeah, he can talk. Mr. Christensen?
We did discuss both resolutions, and Mike Scala's resolution was the one that passed. I, as far as in the future, if Curtis, you should go forward, I guess. I assume that if Andy knew it was coming to our agenda, because it's published, he could have come to the meeting. He didn't. But I suppose I think you have to start somewhere. My problem with the resolution was originally how it was written was it was just a putting business plans together and looking at P&Ls when you don't have a – you're just saying 10% and no one can tell me where it came from. That's where I like the word goal better, but I do get frustrated that we have continually talk ad nauseum about what language to use rather than actually just doing it. If we're, I'm all for cutting the 10% or 15%, but – It's time for the board to go to work. And again, we've now spent, which is fine, 35 minutes talking on what language to use on a resolution rather than actually getting into a room and figuring out what is the best for the residents of McHenry County. If that's 15% or 20% or 10%, we have to start somewhere. And so that's where a goal to me was better than the hard resolution for various reasons. But it was discussed. And it was a very, I would say, Chuck, Mr. Wheeler had some great, great points. I know Mrs. Barnes had some great points, and I thought it was a very, I don't know, it's one of the better discussions I thought we ever had in finance, really. Honestly, I thought it was very good. So it wasn't, I don't know. I actually was it was a really good finance meeting. Should have been there.
Mr. Smith.
I want to agree with Mr. Christensen that it was a good meeting. After much discussion, it was apparent to me that the original resolution had little chance of passing and moving forward. And I thought one of the more important parts of the resolution was that we got this moved to the ad hoc committee. And if the original resolution would have been voted on and failed, that wouldn't have happened, would be my understanding. So I'm the one that actually made the motion to adopt the language that Mr. Scala had presented. And that the essential part of it was that instead of a hard, certain number of 10%, it moved it to a goal of 10%, abating the money back to the taxpayer, abating any levy decreases back to the taxpayers, but most importantly, moving it forward onto the ad hoc committee by amending the motion to adopt this language that had the goal in it instead of the hard number. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Thorson.
Yes, again, I apologize for using the word draconian in the my description of the original proclamation. Actually, that is the one I support. I would like us to take a look again at the original proclamation if we have the opportunity to. If we don't, that's fine. I felt that some of these changes really took some of the wind out of the sail of the original proclamation. I thought the original proclamation kind of set us up for a certain end. And how we got there, I agree with Mr. Chris. It was a great conversation. I did attend that meeting, and it was a great conversation. Both sides had excellent points. But at the end of the day, I really feel that I think we can do it, and I think we should do it. And so I support the original proclamation. So I wanted to make myself clear.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because I helped draft this.
Yes, I know.
With Mr. Gosser. And I support that. I also support my chairman on his issue. I'm agnostic on which one we pass, okay? All I care is that we get moving on this. It's the only thing that matters. So let's vote on it. Pick which one you want. Whatever makes you happy. But let's get going. That's it. All right? We'll work on this together. Ms. Jensen.
I appreciate the invitation to attend the Finance Committee meeting, but I was in Peru doing a community service project, so... I could have called in, I want to thank everyone for your robust discussion today. And I just, the reason I asked the question, I just think that people that have put a lot of work into creating a resolution, bringing it to the floor, there is a sense of professional courtesy that we're involved in that conversation and how changes occur. Nothing more and nothing less. But in the next time I go to Peru, I'll make an ask of the chairman if I can call in for a meeting. Thank you.
As long as you're not eating guinea pig, then you can. John.
Well, just a side note, I'll certainly leave some extra time for the committee, the full board meeting next week. But honestly, I mean, it is time. This ordinance, the voters want it. They want us to work on it. I've never met or read about any great leader that didn't set goals and didn't set priorities for his company to go after. It's time to get to work and do this. I can't wait for the discussion to come up Tuesday.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, I think we're done with the stuff off of the consent agenda. We've heard from Mr. Austin. Under other, Ms. Avang, did you want to briefly describe what your committee's been doing?
Thank you. Just a comment. In everyone's box, you should see a proposal from the National Group. They're a federal lobbyist firm that our committee has been discussing. Actually, at our last committee meeting, which was early this month, we had two of their staff people from Chicago come in and answer questions that the committee had. I guess the next step will be we'll get a proposal, and it'll move on to finance. When I have a date certain that it will be in finance, I would recommend that all of my colleagues attend that meeting. If anybody has any questions now, I'd be happy to answer them. Or if you want to call me, give me a call later. I'd be happy to answer any questions at that time. I see lights on.
Your neighbors like you. Mr. Wilbeck.
Yeah, I have a question for you. What's the value? What are they bringing, and can we quantify a value?
Okay, well, I would encourage you to read your packet.
I just got it today.
Okay. Well, all right, thank you. I think, as we all know, we have a new environment in Washington, D.C. Earmarks are gone. We're kind of relying now on grants. In my opinion, it's not enough to have a good relationship with our legislators. These grants are coming out of the executive branch. We need to have people that are familiar with agencies, know when to apply, when things are coming up. We've got a brand new president who has said that he wants to spend $1 billion in infrastructure projects.
Trillion, sorry.
What, trillion
three
with
zeros?
A T. Right. $1 trillion. So I think we need to be there when these things get rolling. We have projects that are ready to go. You can talk to all the department heads, the committee chairs. You know, not only infrastructure, which I think we've identified as an area that we need improvement on in our strategic plan, but for economic development, employment training, environmental, water issues that we have. We've got plenty of projects that we could use some money to get them going. And I know that I have colleagues who are inherently opposed to spending grant money, but I would say that this is taxpayer money. This is our money that's going into these things. Why can't we bring some of it back to McHenry County?
You're
Mr. Christensen.
In reading the different things that were coming out of with President Trump, we do need to make sure McHenry County has a seat at the table. Yeah. It has to be a tool in our tool belt. I would like to go to your meeting, but I will be in Peru as well. So I'm sorry.
I want you to bring me something back. Any other questions on this? Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate that. And I encourage everyone to go. I think it's critically important for our future. Ms. McCann.
We're under other, right?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I want to encourage everybody to read the bench press that Dan Wallace from the court system puts out. It's very interesting, and it has lots of information on some new tools and things they're doing over there that it is one of our more costly departments to run, so I encourage you all to read that.
Thank you. I need a motion at this time to go into executive session to discuss the collective bargaining matters as allowed by Section 2C2 of the Illinois Open Meetings Act. Anyone who is not a board member or my designee needs to vacate the room at this time. On the negotiations can stay. Mr. Scala makes the motion, seconded by Ms. Barnes. All those in favor? No, we have to do a roll call on that. Okay, the clerk will call the roll. The people who are here in negotiations may stay. Everyone else must vacate. Please call the roll.
Aving?
Yes.
Barnes?
Yes.
Bates?
Yes.
Christensen?
Yes.
Gosser? Gademaler?
Yes.
Cameron?
Yes.
Heisler?
Yes.
Young?
Yes.
Kearns?
Yes.
Kapsel?
I want you to
present it. Kurtz?
Yes.
I talked to McCann?
Sheriff, and he's cool with it.
Nowak?
Yes.
Ryan?
Yeah,
I
talked to him this morning.
Reinhardt?
Yes.
Scala?
Yes.
Smith?
I don't want to spend a lot of time
Thorson?
On it.
Yes.
Because we have two choices.
Wheeler?
We can do nothing,
yes.
Or we can vote no.
Wilbeck?
Yes.
Michelle?
Wilcox?
We let them know we have two choices. We can vote no.
Jensen?
Yeah.